listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome. Welcome to this wonderful Tuesday in July. Well, I wished it was June, maybe. But it is July, and it's the 8th of July. And I'm delighted to be here. I'm David Francoeur, your host, moderator, and fellow team member with three wonderful people of God. I've enjoyed working with them over, not even prior to this program, because we've all shared time and ministry together. Keith Masters, the Street Witness, welcome.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Blessed.
Good to be here. Amen.
It is good to be here. Even though sometimes here we start off with a little angst over, you know, the approaches we're going to, you know, to be honest with you, folks, we've been praying a lot. Even when we're well prepared, I think we're well prepared. You know, we're still praying a lot, and the Spirit of God always moves through this group. And we end up sharing what God puts on our hearts, which I believe is wonderful. At the end of the table, Stephanie Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
It's good to have you with us today. And,
of course,
Ann Lomhoko.
Good morning. Wow. I'm only saying it that way because my two co-hosts right across from me seem like a little low energy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what?
No. Wake up. We are here.
This is a fiery show we're going to be.
We are. Well, God's going to give us the energy.
No,
we're
going to
get rolling
morning.
Here.
No, don't.
We're about to move into the fast lane anyway. But before we begin, we did want to pray for the flood victims in Texas. That's a horrible...
And their families.
It was a very unexpected event. Even though the weather service was making predictions, but these rains move things so fast. This hill country in Texas.
Yeah.
There's no percolation to speak of in the land. So you get these flash floods when the water comes down. And so I saw one video of a river in 45 minutes went from a stream to a wide river with all the rains that were coming in.
26 inches fell in 45 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a lot. So
in the middle of the night while these kids were sleeping.
Yes.
And their counselors. So sad.
It's really sad. But so let's come ask you listeners to join us as we come to the Lord today, lift up those folks. And we do, Father, we grieve with you, and we grieve with the families who have lost children and other adults, many other adults that were there, and just a lot of deaths that have impacted the hearts of the people, and we go out for them. Our hearts go out for them, and we know, Lord, that you're there with them, and that you want to surround and protect them, and pour out the riches of your grace into their lives, so they will ultimately have peace. To gather around them other people who are loving and caring, your people, that can minister to them in whatever way they need right now. Grief is often, especially this kind of grief from unexpected losses, and especially of young people, kids, the hardest thing that any of us have to understand or embrace to any degree is the death of a child. But we lift them up. You have a perfect will, Father. You have an incredible love that we'll never understand in this life, and yet it is being richly poured out now for all those people. And we just pray also for the families, the moms and dads and all the other families. But we also pray there are those out there even now in the countryside looking for survivors. And yes, those that didn't make it to be able to bring their remains back to be taken care of. We just, Father, just so many things. And we're not going to, you know that you have the whole list. We're not going to have to give it to you. But We just join so many others today, just lifting them up for your love and your grace to be poured out into their lives for as long as they need it. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, and...
You know, as we're doing this prayer, I'm sitting here thinking, praying, but it's amazing that, you know, we take a few minutes to pray for those in need in Texas, and then we go into the subject that we're going to be talking about today, and it seems so meaningless when these people are grieving. And so I just want to, you know, take another second or two and go, you know, God does truly have those that are grieving, no matter whether they're in Texas or, you know, in Utah or wherever they are, here in Florida. People are grieving all over this nation for different things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, as we bring this subject today, it is important, but we also want to take the time to know and tell those that are listening in our audience, if you are grieving today,
mm-hmm. yes,
we do care, and we have a God that cares.
Amen.
And, you know, we would love to pray with you. Don't feel bad about emailing us or David calling or whatever. That's an important topic that we don't talk about here because it's not political. Mm-hmm. Or that, I don't know if political is the right word, but it's not in the news a lot. But this was so front and center.
Mm-hmm.
But people grieve every day. Mm-hmm. And so if you're grieving today, we want you to know that we are grieving with you.
Yes.
You are not alone.
And if you do, you know, we have a website that you can send us a message, and many people will send a prayer request, and that's WCNO.com. And on the home page, I can't tell you right now which pull-down menu, but it'll obviously be obvious to you. You can leave us a message or a prayer request. And two, you know, if you just feel like you need to call the station, and you can do that during business hours, there's usually someone here that can take the call and pray for you.
Yeah.
And that's 772-221-1100. And I thank you, Stephanie, for moving us a little forward in that. It is important. And especially, when we get to the point that we're going to be looking at today, I will say this, as we talk about the core issue, which I'll get to in a minute, the core issue, when it's being tried to be lived out, creates problems that often...
Lead to grief
of one kind or another. So
true.
Having said that, this doesn't necessarily seem to be a big news item. So we're going to tell you why we picked it. But in the news in New York City, Zohran Mamdani is a Democrat who won the Democratic primary for mayor of New York City. And so he's going to be running against them. There's several others, obviously, that are going to be in some independents who were Democrats, and including the current mayor of the city. We're going to talk about him because he's an avowed socialist. And I'm trying to do this fairly quickly so we can get into the core. But I have to give you some foundational information about these people and about the issue of socialism in itself as a cultural directive, maybe I could use that word. And what we're going to do throughout the rest of the hour is show you through the Word of God and other commentary that's connected to that, how socialism and its offshoots are really diametrically opposed to God's will for his people in terms of how we form communities, whether they be cities, states, nations,
and
same thing.
This comes from Marxism, that Marxism originally came from.
Right, and I'm going to unpack that in a minute. Yeah. I got to get on my roll here.
Because it all stems from Marxism, right?
Well, Marxism is the foundational philosophy,
right? Mm-hmm. So, right, as we
the
have
carnal,
as we have Jesus as the cornerstone,
right.
Marxism is the cornerstone for socialism and communism.
Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of throw some stuff up about that as we go along. But so looking at, I went to his website, Zoran Mandami's website, in terms of what is he's, a lot of things he's going to do or wants to do, all very seemingly attractive. And I went to the page with his policies. And I will just say, as an overview, all of his policies speak socialism. They speak Marxism, really, and a lot of the foundations of that. Housing, freeze rent. Freeze rent. That's interesting. Building affordable housing, cracking down on bad landlords, all those bad people there. And some are not great, I admit. You know, that's a pretty overview. Supporting homeowners and ending deed theft. And I'm sure that happens. I'm not aware of that. But under safety, and he's already stated his emphasis on community safety is less policing, more social interaction, more social social workers at work, helping you calm down so you don't commit crimes. I mean, that's my very quick overview of that. But because he also wants to reduce the police force. And instead, the belief is that if you bring enough social workers to bear on the needs of the people, they'll be happy and they won't go out and commit crimes. That has never been proven to be true, you know, but anyway.
Not true.
affordability, city-owned grocery stores. That's rather communistic. Communism, I'll go back to that in a minute, but communism, one of the hallmarks of communism is the state owns everything. Every business, every source of income.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that work there, but it totally eliminates the opportunity
ownership.
For private ownership and innovation.
Yep.
And someone that had an individual thought is not welcome in a communist socialist society. So city-owned grocery stores right away. How are they going to pay for the difference in costs, taxation? And that runs through every socialist agenda is taxation. So how is he going to pay for this? That's a question, it's an item in his policy statement on his website. Taxing corporations and the 1%. Now, if
of
you
course,
may have
taking
noticed,
it from the rich.
You may have noticed, I'm going to mention in a minute about other large American cities who have been kind of doing that. And we're getting people here in Florida moving from New York, from San Francisco, a lot of the California cities, L.A., who are tired of being overtaxed.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the people that you're going to be sucking the money out of leave your jurisdiction and nobody comes in to replace them? See, anyway. And there's other issues, how they're going to pay for it, some obviously left-leaning things having to do with climate and healthcare and LGBTQIA plus protections. I don't know how that's going to feed into paying for all this, but that's what they say. So anyway, now that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of one socialist mayoral candidate. We also have, by the way, in America, we have several other large cities that have mayors who are socialist. Karen Bass in Los Angeles, Brandon Johnson in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, all this I'm getting from the internet. I did a deep dive on the internet. So I'm pulling all this out from information that I have found there. And it also shows not just their policies, but their failure.
And these are Democratic cities.
Democratic cities. Blue cities. Yep.
Right, blue cities.
And so the excuse me. The issue of Mandami and his policies, which are, again, reflective throughout other parts of the country, people that have already gained the office, by the way. So he wants to turn New York into a similar situation where all of these left-leaning policies fail at one point or another after costing millions and even some cases billions of dollars through wasted tax expenditure to keep the prop up these policies. Now, so the obviously maybe some of you are getting the idea that we need to be concerned about this. We need to be concerned about
Absolutely.
It as Christians who
Yes.
are praying for our nation.
Yes.
Because they'll say, well, it's just a city. It's not the state. Well, as the city goes, so goes the state, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there are some states who have governors that have socialist policies.
Yes. They're trying to get their foot in the door.
Look
what's happening in California with Governor Newsom.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
At the state level, we have several socialist governors. Tim Walz in Minnesota?
Yes.
We only got exposed to him because of the last presidential thing. But there are others, maybe not quite so obvious. But here we are called to pray for America to be restored.
Yes.
And not just to be restored to anything, certainly not anything that I might think is good or you might think is good, but what God thinks is good, because God got this nation started. And God has a plan. And we've turned over the decades away from that plan. And God's calling us back. So we need to be concerned about leaders, significant leaders in America, who continue to support an anti-God agenda. Right. I see we're heading in that. Yes. So talk a little bit about, I think we're maybe going to pick up the rest of this after the break, because there's so much to talk about and I'm trying to cut it down. Why are we so concerned about Marxism? Well, Karl Marx in the late 19th century came up with his cultural, it's a philosophical model of culture that he didn't believe in God, so it's obviously a godless model. So right away, it's in trouble. It's an economic and political theory that analyzes the inherent flaws of capitalism and predicts its eventual collapse. Now, that prediction has never come true. It asserts that history is driven by class struggle, primarily between the working class and the owning class, and that that class struggle will lead to a violent revolution where the working class overthrows the owning class and establishes a dictatorship, when all things wonderful then begin to happen. The point being that socialism and communism are based on his principles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think the
base of that is it's godless.
It's godless. So and right away, so anything that doesn't involve God in it.
Yeah, that's really why we're bringing
that
it
is,
up here.
Base. That is
that
the
is,
base of
that
everything.
Is the base
you know, I know we need to go to a break, but Exodus 20:15 says, "Thou shalt not steal." And we don't always take that into the governmental process, but when people work, God tells us to work.
Yes.
And tells us to not be sluggards and to, you know, but we are to be self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we aren't doing that, or when we are doing that and we pay our taxes, where do those taxes go? And it's okay for the need of the people, but where did God set it up for the need of the people to really come back to?
Acts 2, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
But they gave in Acts 2, where there were believers, the early church.
Right.
They willingly gave.
That's it.
They were not forced to give, which communism, Marxism is basically getting it rammed down your throat. They have no choice.
Well, and what is the base of that? It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to give.
Yes.
And to give.
And our love for others.
And it's our love for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that he has given us much.
Yep.
And so all that David has said this morning is all brought together with how and why, as a church, do we come together and give? Or even as a Christian, if you're not involved in a church body, you know, what is it? What is your neighbor? Your neighbor is your literal neighbor. It might be a family member. It might be the people in Texas. It might be whatever. But we as a nation... Mm-hmm. We're built on the self-governance of what God created, and God owns it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're not recognizing that, then we become godless.
Yes.
And the Marxist philosophy and all of its children, philosophical children, the great and sad feature is it takes away individual freedoms for the sake of the state. It takes away opportunities for individual innovation.
Absolutely.
For the sake of homogeneity in a culture. And cultures that sought to be homogenous self-destruct.
Yeah.
All those utopias that people tried to put together in America and other parts of the world, you can study that too. It's all on the internet. They didn't survive because what God intends for, and we're going to be talking about this now as we move out of this, just first to say this is an issue in America, and it is an infection, and God wants to move to heal it.
Yes.
We'll be back. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back. I have to say, I know we've given you a lot to chew on, and that's kind of by intent, as we pointed to, you know, the danger in America and why we need to be working at every angle that God gives us to work through prayer, through actually becoming active in our cultures and the politics at every level, is because... we have to be aware that this is a disease. It's already in the body, you know. Mm-hmm. It's already in the body, yeah. And it's been. In fact, I'm going to go to Stephanie in a minute, but we talked just about mayors now. Mm-hmm. And from 1898 to 2023, there were 98 individuals who won the mayoralty of their cities. Some mostly big, some not so big. Who were avowed socialists.
How many, wait, what were the years on that?
1898 to 2023 was the last.
Wow.
Now, that 98 doesn't sound like a lot of people. But what I'm pointing to is the disease, as far back as the end of the 19th century, had gotten into the bloodstream of America. And we're in danger of it. What does a disease do if it's not dealt with?
Yeah, got to get to the root of it.
It kills the body.
I know we were going to go to Stephanie really quickly, but yeah. This quote keeps coming up in my head. A president who was a president when I was a child, Ronald Reagan, his famous quote is, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction."
Yeah. Yes.
Okay? Yeah. So even though there's 98 mayors, we talk about a bunch of governors, you know,
today.
This can be, even though we live in free Florida now, if we don't defend it, we have to actively defend and fight for each generation. Florida can become a blue state. Yeah. This is why this is important.
It was in danger not too long ago.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the 80s. Reagan is the 80s. That's not that long ago.
No.
Not really.
So we have, the reason why we're bringing this up is because our listeners need to know, if we don't actively become aware of what's happening and what the devil ultimately is trying to do to change and get rid of freedom in this country, then we can lose our country. Right, yeah. Stephanie? What does the Bible say?
Absolutely.
In Esther, right?
Yes. Well, when I want to take this back for a second, when I was saying that God is the ultimate owner of everything.
Yes.
The scripture for that is Psalm 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof."
Amen.
And that is, when we don't go back to the foundational teaching of what God's word says, then we don't have any foundation. There's no stability, right?
Absolutely.
So
he's the cornerstone.
We are not just talking off the top of our heads. This is stuff that's literally grounded in the word. I just want to go back and read a scripture in 2 Thessalonians as I was looking over some things about working. And we have, I go back to personal responsibility a lot, because every morning when I wake up, I think,
what is it that I'm responsible for today, mm-hmm. right? We go through our action list and what is it that you're going to be doing today? And I didn't used to do that. When I was raising kids, mm-hmm. I was on their action list.
Yeah. You're a different stage of life, though, right?
That's where I'm at now.
Yeah, I know.
That's where we were having our call yesterday.
I can relate to that.
Driving his son.
I am not there right now. And so it seems like I should have all this great time to just do what I want. Yeah.
That is our time ours?
It isn't.
If we are Christians, our lives are his.
It is. Yeah. And I just want to read this to kind of give us some stability in this next segment. It says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. And I think about that and I think, wow. That's written in the Word of God.
Paul. Where's that from?
That's in 2 Thessalonians.
Yep.
Okay. And it says, now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord. This was them back in the day, mm-hmm. encouraging each other. And that's what we're here to do today. Mm-hmm. Not to beat people down and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. It is, let's encourage you. You can still have joy and fun as you're doing this, mm-hmm. and talking to people. Don't be afraid to talk to people about this. What do you mm-hmm. think about communism? What do you think about Marxism? You know, get the conversation going. Don't be afraid to converse about it. But it says, now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. So I am at the core of things an encourager. Mm-hmm. I love to encourage people. And so if you don't get anything else out of today, be encouraged mm-hmm. that God is giving you a chance to learn a little bit more about something that's really not a lot of fun to learn about. And yet we can have this conversation. We had a great conversation yesterday as we getting prepared for today. And it didn't seem like it was a good topic, but it ended up where it was like, okay, we can have this conversation when I don't like to think of it on my own, but when I'm talking with other people, it gives me encouragement to know that mm-hmm. this is a good thing to come together as community and realize that we're not alone in this and that God does have answers in his scripture as we go forward.
Amen. And part of our job is to encourage people to consider what God is calling them to do mm-hmm. and to look at we're giving you some information here. We only have literally time for one or two points. If you want to call, thank you. I'm getting hand signals from Hannah.
Sorry.
It's good I know how to interpret them. I mean, you know. Yes, we do invite your calls. If you have a question or a comment, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Call to action. We're helping you recognize, encourage you, if you haven't already moved off the dime there, is to do something.
I think that we want to illustrate or show, you know, that people from the Democratic Party, maybe some do and maybe some don't, but realizing that Marx, number one, was an atheist, and Mondavi is following Marx. Mm-hmm. So as an atheist, he's trying to push God out of the city, so to speak, as he runs, and to bring light upon that, where God, mm-hmm. where Jesus is the cornerstone and not man, because that's what Marxism stands for, mm-hmm. and socialism stands for,
and that's humanism at its heart. That's the driving philosophy of Marxism, is humanism. It's all about us.
The me, me, me.
Right, me, me, me.
Yeah, and
me,
you know, me. Stephanie, you brought up that was such a great point for thou shalt not steal. Hmm. I mean, it's right. It's one of the things that God tells you not to do. And socialism is taking from everybody else mm-hmm. so that you can have what they have. And that's not how God designed it.
And what country has been successful with communism and socialism?
You know, and AOC is saying, oh, but it'll be different over here. No, it won't be different mm-hmm. over here.
Well, that's
it
what every socialist has said.
That's exactly right.
But to get the ball rolling.
Right.
But that's why I ask, give me a country where it has been successful. They cannot give us a country.
Well, because when they say we're going to do it differently, That's coming out of a humanistic existentialist mindset. Because again, it's ignoring God.
Right.
You know, saying, what we're going to do differently? Why? Well, maybe because we're better people. Mm-hmm. No, nobody's gotten better since humanity started walking the earth.
You know, just to bring some shed some light on who this person is, Mondavi is.
Yeah.
Mondani.
Mondani. Yeah, Mondavi. I'd say Mondavi.
Sorry,
Mondavi. Is that the wine? Is that the wine?
That's okay. Mondani, Mondavi.
Is that the wine?
I think it's California.
I'm sorry to correct you there.
But he's been caught in a blatant lie already like three times. And one of those lies was that he made an application. He filled out an application to go to Columbia University. And he put on his application that he was black. Mm-hmm. That's what he crossed as his nationality or
his culture.
Culture, yeah. Right, that he was black. Mm-hmm. He is clearly not black, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the other ones that he lied on, aside from that, was, let me see here. He lied on his application coming in as an immigrant because he's an immigrant coming into this country.
What did he lie about?
He lied that he wasn't a socialist. He lied that he wasn't a socialist.
Okay.
So, you know, so here's somebody running for office and telling you that he's going to do everything that he says he's going to do, and he's lying as an immigrant to get into the country to begin with.
Well, that means he might be lying throughout the rest of
the year.
He's doing what he said he was going to do.
That's why the lies have to be exposed.
Historically, we can also pinpoint the fact that veracity in the socialist mindset is not a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, truth-telling is not a requirement.
Right. No, it's actually lying, I think, is probably part of the requirement.
You know
well,
what?
Social, if you can look at historically, for instance, in the Soviet Union, after the war, Joseph Stalin, and this is recorded, I don't know the exact number, but over 25 million of his own countrymen were killed.
Wow.
At his command, because they mm-hmm. one way or the other, they did not support and even resisted mm-hmm. The communism, and that's and Mao in China,
yeah,
Red China.
I'm thinking China right now as
China,
well.
China under Mao's reign, mm-hmm. Million. I don't know, I have exact number, but it's out there somewhere. And millions of people were killed, literally died. Now, some died because of his failed policies. You know, every communist nation has a five-year plan, right? Mm-hmm. We're in 5 years, we're going to get better than we were 5 years ago, only they all fail. People starve to death, have starved to death in the Soviet Union and in the old Soviet Union and in China in the mm-hmm. early days of Mao. People mm-hmm. are still starving to death. North Korea, okay, much little we might know coming out of there, mm-hmm. is outside of the ruling class. The peasants are there. They live or die. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. It's another attitude. So it's...
There's five, from what I understand with my research last night, there's five countries with communist governments right now. So you mentioned China and North Korea, but mm-hmm. we're looking at Cuba.
Right.
Okay. Which we know some Cubans at my church where they grew up as kids in Cuba and it was flourishing. And then when what is the man who took over there?
Castro?
Castro came in.
Yeah,
the society just collapsed. Okay, yeah. I know that from firsthand, not being told firsthand. Laos, okay,
Laos.
Oh my goodness, the Lao People's Revolutionary Party has been in power since 1975, and then Vietnam, which their Communist Party has been in power since 1975.
Yeah,
so that's why there's no success. None of these countries scream like freedom, right?
Right. No, it's very repressive.
It's very oppressive. So,
to be aware, because New York City is a big city and the population, and it moves from in there. And we, as a governor, what was the margin of victory for Governor DeSantis this past time?
Mm. It was big.
It was big.
I can't tell you the numbers, but it was large.
Okay. Right. Okay. So, the church is moving. Mm-hmm. The church came out to vote. To keep who was the opponent at that time for Governor DeSantis this last time? Does anybody remember?
I don't remember.
Didn't do my
his first term. It was Charlie
Crist.
Charlie Crist.
That was before. Yes, correct.
Yeah. His first term.
Yeah. There was, anyway, yeah. So
whoever it was, I'm sorry, because there was no chance in that one.
I know.
That's how much we remember, right?
Praise God. See,
I know.
They're
moving.
They're moving from other states that are continuing to bring oppression into the cities,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are moving down here. If socialism gets effective in New York City, the populace in Florida is going to grow.
Right.
By leaps and bounds, because they're going to move away from that with the government.
It's already happening, right?
Right, with the government trying to steal their money.
Mm-hmm.
With the government trying to steal their money.
And that means the infection is moving here, and people will say, well, that's up in New York. Why should I be concerned about that? I'm living in Florida, you know, free Florida. Yeah. That's right. But
don't New York my Florida.
Right. Don't New York my
okay,
Florida.
I'm looking
exactly
at you guys.
Right.
Don't New York
right.
my Florida.
We have to,
don't
it's
Chicago
a call
my Florida.
It's
right.
a call
don't
to be
Chicago.
Responsible.
Right. And look at what they're trying to do in Texas. They're trying to do the same thing, right? They're trying to make it a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so this is the fight that they continually they battle up against, and they're not battling people. They're battling the spirits. They're battling the
it's
Lord.
It's a spiritual battle.
It's a
battle.
Spiritual battle.
Yeah.
So they're battling the Lord, you know?
So this was a question that I was raising in my brain here a few minutes ago. How do we fight
Ephesians 6.
This? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Keith. Ephesians 6. We're not fighting
against flesh and blood,
but against the principalities, against the demons, against the dark powers.
Okay, yeah. so how do we
have to pray against that?
How do we wrap flesh around that and walk it out is the question.
Yeah.
So we know the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you wrap flesh around the scripture and actually walk it out? What are the things that we can do as Christians to actually
investigate the truth?
Okay, and that's part of what we're doing today, mm-hmm. right?
Bring light to things that people may not know about.
That's right. We're
and
illuminating.
I also want people who may be listening, there's a lot of New Yorkers here in this area. If you still have, if you're still registered to vote, let's say you're only here half a year, you need to vote against this man, because mm-hmm. this man cannot become the Democratic, he's the nominee now, but he cannot become the governor.
Mayor.
So that mayor. What is wrong with me today? So that's also, like you say, a fleshly thing, I guess, is what you say.
Right, wrapping flesh around it.
Vote
means
against this man.
Voting, right.
Yep.
So Ephesians 6, 12.
Go ahead, Keith.
Here he goes.
It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So
we need to declare authority. As Christians, we have the authority, right?
We have the authority.
Over those evil spirits in the name of Jesus. We have to declare that,
amen.
Right? And fight, in knowing the authority, Stephanie, we know the authority we have in Christ.
Yeah.
And we can
yeah.
trample over all of that that you just said in 6, 12, and 13 in Ephesians.
And we have to act on it.
Yes.
We have to act on it. And that's one of the things.
I think the biggest thing, too, is we go back to, you know, talks about rebelling against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted.
Mm-hmm.
So how I'm bringing in some really hard questions here that we haven't really talked about.
Bring it.
But how does that look biblically when we're fighting against what's coming in? We know what the foundational teaching is. So how does that look when another, and I can only think of it as a party, but I don't mean it that way, when another philosophy comes in instead of Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
How do we fight against that when they come into power, or something that I don't agree with comes into power? How do we fight against that?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that I feel like our listeners are going, well, what can I do about this? How can I do this?
Get on your knees.
Get on your knees and pray.
That is it.
And then also join with others. And there's power in prayer. Where two or three are gathered, mm-hmm. he's there in the midst, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we Intercessors for America, we talked about
that
last week, ifapray.org. You can join groups of intercessors, okay, to pray. My Faith Votes has a Florida team that prays every Monday morning and Monday evening.
Right.
So join people who are praying, because there's power in prayer.
That's Amen. Right. And keep in mind, you know, that we have to be relentless in prayer.
Right.
In other words, say, well, all right, God, pray for, against all the communists in America. Amen. No. Okay.
No.
I mean, that's it. You're not done.
No.
You're not done. You may only just begun. And especially if you're, this is all new to you, it might be to some of our listeners. I never thought of that. Well, okay. Now you've got you thinking about it.
There's a prayer. Yeah, there's a prayer thing that goes on right at noon, right after this show, called the NACL, National Association of Christian Legislators. Ooh. And anybody's welcome to go on there at NACL and pray with them. There's legislators that come on, but it's grassroots as well. We need to come together and pray.
Absolutely.
Amen. We'll be coming back after a little break. Hey, welcome back to the last portion of A Biblical Response. If you're just tuning in, there's no way I'm going to be able to bring you up to speed on
you
our stuff.
You
but
take
I'll
our
try
course.
To do a thumbnail sketch. As we took the in the news about the
Mamdani,
who is running for New York mayor. He's an avowed socialist. We all of his talking points are typical.
And lied that he wasn't as an immigrant coming
right.
into the country.
That's
yeah.
right, but. And I've been talking about more and more American cities have socialist mayors, and many states have socialist governors.
All the blue cities.
And that it's alarming because of the increase in interest, even among the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to, I didn't share this, but again, from the internet, all the research I did yesterday, recent surveys indicate a notable increase in the acceptance of socialism among Americans. Now, again, to remind you, God is not a socialist. He's not a communist.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Marxist, certainly. He is diametrically opposed to that philosophy of governing and culture development, because God is God of freedom and love and all that, and none of that exists in socialism. As of mid-2025, approximately 41% of U.S. adults view socialism positively, a slight increase from previous years. This shift is particularly pronounced among younger demographics, with only 49% of adults aged 18 to 34 expressing a positive view of capitalism. And that's down from 58% in 2019.
Mm. So, it's all because of the, everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Probably they want their college paid for as well.
I remember when that came into existence.
Is that where it started,
goodness. It was horrible. Yeah, no, everybody doesn't get a trophy, and you have to work hard, and gosh darn it, there's always a second place, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter whether you get a trophy or not, there's always a second place.
Well, that's the downside of that equality, or not equality, but equity.
Yeah.
Plus, you know? Yeah, socialism from Karl Marx, and that's the question here is, how does Karl Marx view God? And it says, Marx elaborated that human history could only be understood by having man as the central focus instead of God, or a divine creator instead of God. So if you start following that philosophy, you can just see that he's not believing in the Lord.
Yeah.
And Mondani also played a video mocking Hanukkah. With the Jewish religion.
Very
anti-Semitic. And as a matter of fact, he did say that
tip of your tongue.
Yes, Jewish Prime Minister.
Netanyahu.
Thank you. If he came into New York, that he would arrest him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how can any Jews or how can any Jewish population vote for somebody who's going against them in particular?
And there's a lot of Jewish people in New York.
It's
I mean, we're bringing light to this because people may think Mamdani is this amazing figure.
Right.
You know, he's this new man coming in. But no, he's dangerous. He represents ideals that are not of the Lord.
Right, not of the Lord and not of this country.
Yep.
Don't forget, he is an immigrant, and he's Indian. He's Indian nationality. Mm-hmm. His parents were both Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to change the structure of America inside, starting with New York City.
But again, he has other cohorts, people that have the same attitude he does, that embrace the same
philosophies, right.
Essentially Marxist philosophy. And again, this is why we are alerting our listeners to be prayerful if you haven't been, and to involve other Christian folk who may be a little clueless about what's going on.
Yeah.
Or maybe say, it's not happening in my backyard. So, you know, well, it is. America is your backyard. You're an American and you're a Christian. We're called to pray. Because this destroys culture. It destroys people.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we're praying against him.
No.
We're praying that God will save him and God will bring light to his,
good point,
you know,
Stephanie.
and bring it to the place where we're to pray for our leaders.
Yep.
And so sometimes I don't like to do that because it doesn't feel really
good. But the Bible commands us to.
It does command us to, and in a very gentle way, sort of. But it does command us to do that. And so, you know, I don't like to pray for my enemies a lot, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, people that are trying to take down what I believe and what this nation was built on is God. And so that is an enemy. If it's an enemy of God, it's an enemy
of ours.
It's my enemy as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and who are we doing this for? I mean, obviously God, but for the generations to come.
Yes.
This is, I mean, guys, come on. You know, we're not young chickens here.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nope.
Oh, stop. Stop.
That's right.
Wow. Your son. Don't believe him. Son. Do not believe him. I am not a young chicken. Wow. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
But these are all demonic doctrines and traditions. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that is in the Bible, Keith. For we're not to follow demonic traditions or you know, things of man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all coming in my head as we're speaking of this. We're not to follow this. So that's why we're warning people. And if you don't know about this, just like David did, go on the internet and research yourselves. And you will go down a path that mm-hmm. is going to bring light.
We keep talking about deception.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
you're right.
That's the main
thing. Over and over
and over. Over and over again. Yep. Because the enemy deceives us. And they bring attention to things that you like, and they draw you in with things that you like and think that things that you need. And, you know, it's just it's deceiving. It's deception. And going against President Trump right now, where they're attacking ICE, they're shooting at ICE right now in where did they do that? Down in Texas, did they shoot?
There was a
shot. They shot one of the.
It's in multiple states. It's happening where they're shooting at our border security.
Right. So. Yeah. Right. And this is not. This is not. I mean, and I don't even know how to say this. This is not. This is violence. And if you see that the violence is growing, it's because they want the control at the same time. They want the control mm-hmm. and the power. And this is what they're. This is what they're. I think. That they're resorting to, mm-hmm. which is what they're resorting to out of their frustration.
If you have a socialist Marxist agenda, it's important for you to gain power in the culture you want to be in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, the power is what's going to keep you in power.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll have nothing else to offer the people ultimately.
Yeah. Well, and one of the ways that happens is against our children.
Yeah.
I mean, that is part of the, you know, it doesn't just start at the top.
Mm-hmm.
They start, it starts infiltrating into our governmental,
kids.
Yeah, our governmental right. entities, which is also our schools, our public school systems
yeah.
and things that, you know, that's been going on for a long time.
Well, because these right. children, if they're infiltrated and if they're deceived at a young age, they're going to grow up to be adults who are going to keep furthering these principles.
He just read the statistic that
yeah.
it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
that. Socialism is more accepted. Capitalism is mm-hmm. is down. There, mm-hmm. there's just not the.
That's why we got to pray for people also who are college kids.
And in talking about educational indoctrination,
mm-hmm.
for the last several decades in America, we've had leftist socialist attitudes in our school systems by and large.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, again, looking at those, when you look at the 18 to 34 age group, when they did this survey. Only 49% of adults in that age group have a positive view of capitalism. That means that more than 50% in America, 51%, are more favorable to socialism. How do they get that way in that age group? Is that through education?
Yeah, they're 18 to 34. They were just in high school, so high school and college. So.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign.
Well,
guys.
And how has the family unit disappeared? How much has the family unit disappeared?
Yeah.
Which is just the thinking,
breaking down of marriages.
It's another,
right,
yes,
right. And,
yes.
And
that's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's not, you know, God brought the man and the woman together, and that was his intention. So for the family unit to be one under God,
mm-hmm.
right? For the family unit to be under God. And then once that family unit breaks up through the enemy dispensing of the family unit, then he penetrates
yes.
into the children
yes.
for their thinking.
Yeah.
There's no guidance in the house.
Another thing that's coming to mind, because Stephanie asked what we can do in the flesh.
Yeah.
But as Christians, if we are not continually renewing our mind in the Word every day,
yes.
then it says in Hebrews, it will separate. So you will start to know how the Lord feels about things. You'll start to know what is from the devil and what's from the Lord. It will give you the discernment when you're in the Word. It will do the work in your heart. So as Christians, we cannot afford to not be in the Bible every day.
You know, there's a quote that says, attitude reflects leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you following?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who are you following? Who is the leader of your mind? Mm. Are you the leader of your mind? Of course, we can take our thoughts captive, but who are you listening to?
Yeah.
Who are you hearing? And if you're not reading the word, mm-hmm. which I'll be honest, mm-hmm. I'll put my hand, both hands up. I'm not as good at as a good at
I think
it
all
as
of us
I should.
Feel that way, Stephanie.
I know, and time gets away from us, right?
Yeah.
But
it's doing that even
I
now.
I love what you said, Anne, mm-hmm. about the more you listen or the more you read and the more, you know, put the Bible app on in the morning and
I
while
was
you're
just
getting
saying,
ready.
When you're in the car, you drive from Vero every Monday,
I do.
Tuesday.
I do.
That's a major commitment.
The U-Version app on the phone.
Yeah.
You can actually, when it's only certain, like certain translations, like NLT, mm-hmm. you could hit the button and it plays to you and just let it minister to you.
Mm-hmm. I do There's, that. I also call a cousin that knows the scriptures really well on my way down here mm-hmm. and we talk about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
So I have an hour to really soak in what I feel is God calling me to talk about
yes.
that day.
Yes.
And with other people that I think are smarter than I am in the word, you know, find people that are around you
yes.
and find their leadership and you know, come
their
together.
Their counsel. Bible studies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in a Bible study Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
He gets into the Blue Letter Bible. He gets into the Strong's. Mm-hmm. So what is the actual intent of in Hebrew
I love
and
that.
In Greek?
Yeah.
What's the original mm-hmm. intent of the word in Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Pneuma, Holy Spirit. Pneuma, mm-hmm. the breath of God. He gets into that. Get into Bible studies.
Yeah.
Well, there's no excuse. Sorry.
I
love the word of God.
I'm led of the Lord to pray for my pastoral colleagues. Mm. More of them will become aware of this, how needy their people are of this kind of direction and guidance. Because you get a lot of pastors not even going to touch this.
Oh, you mean what we're talking about right now?
What we're talking about right now and see that it's a viable issue
yes.
to be in terms of discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, what is discipleship essentially? But taking, mm-hmm. helping believers to get stronger in their faith and to get closer to their God and to get deeper into the word so that they can hear and know what God wants them to do, and then they can do it.
And to make aware. To make aware.
Yeah.
And something that's interesting, too, that we kind of overlook is tithing.
Mm.
And that's a whole nother program as well. But but on this, you know, we think, well, what is the purpose of tithing? Why do I need to tithe? You know, if it's I'm paying my taxes, you know, and,
right.
and so the government gets. Well, that's not where it was meant to be in the beginning. The Holy Spirit is mm-hmm. really we need to be listening to him
mm-hmm.
as to what the church should be doing on a local level
mm-hmm.
so that the government isn't the embodiment of the giver or
yeah.
the giving.
Or the social net that it was not meant to be.
Not
the
meant
church
to be.
Is supposed to be in that
That's
place.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to tithe. I'm telling you, it's actually freeing. It is a freeing thing when you are willing to give to God something that is so precious because we need it to live.
Which is all his anyways.
Right? It is. It's all his anyway.
We have a 2-minute warning. Just
I saw the light.
New technology that I brought in. But yeah, because the time is almost up and we've got to give over to the next program. So we have like 30 seconds before we have to end. So
Keith. I think Keith said, what, a verse?
Yeah.
Good way to
Deuteronomy
end.
28, the chapter is full
the
of the blessings from
yes.
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it just says in 28:1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations on earth.
Amen.
All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God.
Thank you, Lord.
And verse 3 mm-hmm. says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country.
Absolutely. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Good timing. Thanks for listening. You know, you may agree, you may disagree, but I hope that we've got everybody thinking,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, you can still call in. You know, we've you to give the invitation, but now we're done. So write it down if you forget what you were thinking, and you can call us next week.
Have a good
God
week.
Bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response.
If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray.